On Community Conversation, we're going to be talking with our Hometown Hope featured organization for the month of October, which is the Croswell Family Worship Center. And I'd like to welcome into the program Pastor Henry Burciaga. And Pastor Henry, it's good to have you on the program with us.
Thank you.
And also we have Minister Lynn Brooks. And Lynn, it's good to have you with us too.
Hey, good to be here, Dale.
And welcome into the program. It's good to be able to talk a little bit about the Croswell Family Worship Center and for more people to get familiar about what the church and the center is all about. And let's start in with the basics here. Lynn, where is the center located at?
We are at 409 Croswell Street here in Adrian, just in between Maple and Butler.
Okay. And the church has been around for
75 years.
75 years. Yeah. See, I don't think people realize the length of time that the church has been here in Adrian. So it's got a very historic past to it, doesn't it, Lynn?
Very much, Dale. Very much.
Yeah. Well, let's find out a little bit about the history of the Croswell Family Worship Center then.
Well, it's kind of an interesting story. The church actually started 77 years ago. There was a pastor who came to Adrian from the small town of Napoleon, Ohio, and his name was Ramon Navarro. And what happened is he felt that God was calling him to start a church here in Adrian for the Spanish-speaking community. And after a couple of years, as the church continued to grow, the decision was made to have a permanent building for the congregation. And when the property was chosen to build on, Pastor Navarro and his congregation, they met oppositions from the Catholic churches who lived in the neighborhood, the Catholic residents who lived there in the neighborhood, because they just didn't want a Spanish-speaking church in their neighborhood. Mm. So lawsuits were filed, and court dates were made, and trials came and went. And this caused delay after delay after delay. But the good thing is, Dale, is that Pastor Navarro and the people of his church, they never gave up hope. Yeah. They never gave up hope. They never lost faith, and they never went backwards. And so some of the lawsuits were won by the church, and some were thrown out of court. As local judges here in Lenawee County, they refused to weigh in on several of the future lawsuits against the Spanish-speaking church. And as a result of that, they sent the church and the opposers to the higher court in Detroit. And there was a lawsuit was sent back to the local courts here in Lenawee County. And as this was all happening, you got to understand that this congregation, they were raising money to build a building, mm-hmm. but now they're spending their money on attorney fees and lawsuits and everything like that. Yeah. Finally, there was a judge here in Lenawee County. Some of our listeners may know the name, and if they don't, all they have to do is drive down Main Street and look up to the courthouse. Rex B. Martin told the two parties that the people of Lenawee County had the right to worship freely, and he and his colleagues would refuse to hear any future arguments in regards of preventing the Spanish-speaking community to have a worship place so that they can worship God in their native tongue. That is amazing.
Yeah, it is. It is.
So it looked like at this point that Pastor Navarro and his congregation were going to get their church building after all. But another dilemma was just around the corner.
Uh-oh.
In 1946, there was a city ordinance on the books that denied the rights to a Mexican to purchase property within the city limits of Adrian.
Oh, you're kidding.
I wished I was. The city councilman at that time, and I use the word councilmen, not council people, or it's councilmen.
Yeah, right.
They denied the sale of the property to Pastor Navarro.
Oh, my gosh.
But Pastor Navarro and the people of his church, they never gave up hope.
Uh-huh.
They never lost faith, and they never went backwards. There was a white man by the name of P.J. Glacier, who was a former New York Railroad, Central Railroad agent, and he worked at the depot here in Adrian. He had been supporting Pastor Navarro since the church's inception, and he took it upon himself to purchase the lot at 409 Croswell Street, and then he gifted it to the Spanish church. Isn't that amazing?
There is a way around that.
There is a way around.
Yeah.
See, when you just be still and let God, God will work it out for you.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the cool things that we've discovered is we've discovered a photo of Mr. Glacier and Pastor Navarro working alongside some of the men during the construction of the church. So not only were they a voice from the pulpit and an activist, they were also hands-on people as well.
Sure. Yeah.
So often I'm sure that the question was asked by the members of this church is that, are we doing the right thing? Are we going the right way? Are we following the will of God? Are we supposed to have our own building, or are we supposed to just continue to meet wherever we can just find a place to meet? Mm-hmm. And during that time, the church was meeting in a laundry room at what is now known as King's Mobile Park on and the Lansing Street.
No, yeah, okay.
So when they outgrew that, because the church continued to grow, yeah, they went to the fairgrounds, and they were meeting in one of the buildings there on Sundays to hold church.
Okay.
And that's where the idea and the prayer began to have their own building. And there's something else, Dale, I want to remind our Latino community especially, that these folks that we're talking about from 75 years ago, some of these people were their grandparents. Mm-hmm. They were their moms and dads. They were aunts and uncles. And for the most part, they were very poor people. Mm-hmm. They didn't have a lot of money.
Yeah.
They didn't have a strong grasp of the English language. They were in all respects a small fish swimming in a great big pond.
Yeah.
But Pastor Navarro and the people of his church, they never gave up hope. They just kept going forward.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine what it was like for Pastor Navarro to stand there time after time after time in front of that judge's bench with his broken English, trying to explain the importance of having a church in this community.
Yeah, yeah.
So as when we look back and we look at the history of this and we start thinking about this time period, this was right after World War II. So there was a lot of GIs coming back, mm-hmm, to Adrian, coming back to Lenawee County.
Sure.
And as we know, factory jobs were very plentiful during this time.
Yeah.
But the GIs that were coming back were the ones that were getting these jobs.
Yeah.
So the Mexican community, the Latino community, they worked and saved at this time to earn and save up to $7,000 for the construction of this church building.
Wow.
And the beautiful part is that the majority of the work was done by the members of the church.
Isn't that fascinating?
It is absolutely fascinating.
Yeah.
They had a lot of people who were against them. A lot of people.
Yeah.
There were people who lived in the houses around them that didn't want them in their neighborhood.
Oh, geez.
The Catholic church down the street, they didn't want that church built in their neighborhood. But in spite of all this opposition, they kept moving forward.
Yeah.
And here we are, 75 years later. And one of the most beautiful parts about this story, and this is just something I discovered just this past week, is that the very first service was held 75 years ago on Christmas Eve in 1946 in that building.
No kidding. Oh, wow.
So Iglesia Bautista Cristiana held its first service in the very sanctuary that we worship in today. Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing.
I got a quote here I'd like to read, and this is from that service from Pastor Navarro.
Okay.
It says, "The church will be open for the worship of God. We invite all peoples to be with us." Peoples is plural. Mm-hmm. All race, all nationality, all peoples to come. And from the sparse records that we've been able to uncover, we've learned that there's been approximately 150 people at that very first service.
Wow.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
So here we are, 75 years later.
Yeah.
We're still going strong.
Sure.
We're still standing on the faith of God's word, just like our first generation church family did so long ago. And we are so proud of their courage, and we honor their faith. And to us, the congregation of 2021, that's what we celebrate. That's the story that we want to be told, is that no matter what opposition you meet, if God's got a way for you to go, he's going to move you forward. That's the story of our church.
Wow.
I was telling Lynn, you know, those people, our forefathers, you know, they set the foundation for us.
Yes, it is.
And a lot of times we take for granted what they've done for us. But when you stop to think what they did for us, that was a big sacrifice.
It was.
Yes,
it was.
Very much.
And to have that opposition all the time in front of them. But like you said, Lynn, that they kept persevering.
Yes.
And they just kept at it until finally things started to fall into place. And, you know, and like we mentioned, as you were mentioning about the history, that getting that parcel of land being gifted.
Yes.
I thought, whoa, you know, like we said, if there's a, you know, there's a way to get around that, and that's what happened. And of course, it was very interesting in how that happened, yeah, too. So
God's word tells us that if we stand obedient, if we just stand still and be obedient to his word, that he will fight our battles.
Yeah.
And not only does he fight them, he wins them.
Yeah.
Again, think about traveled back in the mid-40s from here to Detroit. Think about how scared it had to be to go to this big metropolitan city and stand there in front of the higher courts.
Yes.
I just can't even fathom that.
Yeah.
I can't even fathom that.
I mean, for us right now to be able to go up to a federal court in Detroit is kind of a scary situation.
No way could I. But you know, the thing is that, you know, there's been a lot of changes. Been a lot of changes over the past 75 years. And one of the biggest changes that we've seen is not only the name change of the church, but the order of the service. And one of the questions that keeps coming up is, well, why the name change? Why change the name? And that came from our former pastor, Ralph Vallejo. Mm-hmm. He was sitting on the front steps of the church one day. And I'm, help me out, Pastor Henry. About 8 years ago or so, maybe? Somewhere in there? Seven to 8 years ago. And the church is dying. As the older generation of the Latinos pass away, the church isn't growing anymore. Mm-hmm. And so he's sitting on front of the church on the steps. And there's this young girl, little girl. We don't know how old she is, but maybe 6, 7 years old. And she's walking down the sidewalk with her mom and dad. And she looks over her shoulder and she says, "See, Mom and Dad, that's where the Mexicans go to church."
Oh.
And so that was confirmation from God, from Pastor Ralph, that we need to do something. If we're going to continue to grow this church, we need to let people know, like Pastor Navarro said, we are a church of all peoples.
Yeah.
And so the name of the church was changed. Even that met opposition from the congregation. Those who were sticking true to their roots.
Sure, sure.
But as Pastor Ralph said, he says, listen, you know, if we're going to continue to grow and honor what our forefathers have fought for and stood for, then we need to make some changes. So the name of the church was changed to Croswell Family Worship, emphasis on family. We
yes.
want the family to be here. We want to be a church within our community.
Mm-hmm.
And it's no secret that we're in one of the poorest neighborhoods in the city of Adrian. And I believe with all my heart that God's put us there for a reason, and
sure.
that's to do ministry work within that neighborhood.
Sure.
And so the name was changed. We even changed the format of the service. It became a little bit more contemporary. We preach, we speak in English and in Spanish.
We did that because a lot of your youth, your Latino youth, don't speak Spanish anymore. So in order to be able to get to them, for them to understand your message, they're going to have to be able to understand what you're preaching.
Sure.
So the one who first decided to turn everything around was Pastor Benjamin Dela Cruz. And ever since then, it's been bilingual.
Okay.
So it's worked out pretty good.
Yeah.
It's worked out pretty good.
Well, that was going to be one of my questions about, you know, how you conduct a service now, and that you just answered my question.
Well, the music is bilingual. It will sing a lot of your contemporary music.
Sure.
It'll be in English, and then some of it will be in Spanish. But the preaching is all in English. So this way everybody gets to
right.
understand what you're,
sure.
what the message is all about.
And like you said, that the younger Latino population is not speaking necessarily the Spanish language anymore, that they are speaking English, and so yeah. that if you're wanting to entice them to come in and to, you know, be a part of the congregation, you'll have to do it in English too.
Make some yes. changes.
Yeah, you make some changes, yeah.
And you know, and now, you know, I look at things in that I speak enough Spanish to order dinner at Sunnyside, okay?
Yeah.
So but the beautiful thing is, I can't even explain this, but I'll do my best. When we sing those traditional Spanish hymns in Spanish, Dale, is something inside you that just wakes up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a beautiful language, but when it's sung to our God, mm-hmm. it makes it even more special. And you just can't help but feel the presence of God. And I told First Lady Becky, that Pastor Henry's wife, I says, I don't ever want us to stray away from our heritage. I don't ever want that to go away, because there's something special. There's something special in those songs. Even though I don't understand, or a lot of people don't understand all the words, there's something special in those songs,
yeah.
and we can't let that go.
That's right.
We can't let it go.
And I'm glad you're sticking to that. Well, you're going to be doing some celebrating with an open house that's going to be coming up, right, coming up, what is it, on October the 9th? Okay. Yeah.
So one of the things I'd like to do today, and that is just reach out to our community, and we just want to invite them to come and celebrate with us. Celebrate what our forefathers have done, our foremothers have done, all of those people that come together in their bravery and stood up and said, you know what, we're just going to just press on. We want to celebrate that. 75 years later, we want to do that. And I'd like to extend a special invitation to our Latino community just to join us. Because, again, many of your ancestors, your moms and dads and grandparents, this where they started.
Yeah.
They helped start this church.
And this was their church.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes. And it was by their blood, sweat, and tears and faith that mm-hmm. we exist today. And so we want to celebrate that. And, yeah, we're honored and we're proud of what they did. And we want to show that off a little bit. But more importantly, we want to show how they stood in faith. And so we'd like to extend an invitation, and we'd also like to extend an invitation to them to help us update our historical records.
Yeah.
At that time, I mean, think about it. Keeping records was not a priority
sure.
for Pastor Navarro and that first generation church. It was right. more about trying to get the church open.
Absolutely.
So if there's folks out there that have any records, maybe it's marriage certificates or baptisms or whatever,
pictures.
That has, yeah, pictures.
Pictures,
yeah. Yeah, pictures with names and dates on them
right.
from the church, we would love to have copies of those things, because one of the things that God's put on my heart to do, and that is to preserve a record of that history for our future generation. Like I told Pastor Henry this the other day, I says, you know, 75 years ago, they weren't thinking how it was going to look 50 or 75 years down the road. They were thinking about how they were going to survive that day, that
sure
court
enough.
Date.
Sure.
So record keeping was not part of their priorities. And I look back and I see where God had a hand in this, and that is the relationships that not only Pastor Henry and I have, but just other folks through the church. It was because of their perseverance. And so we have people in our community that have things. They have photographs. They have baptism certificates and those types of things. And we would like to have records of that so we can preserve those. Because 75 years from now, when we're all not here,
right.
somebody's going to want to look back and celebrate and have something to reflect back on.
Well, let's talk about the time on October 9th that the open house is going to be. So
okay.
It's going to be what time?
We are, again, Saturday, October the 9th. From 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. And again, it's at 409 Croswell Street. And there's going to be plenty of food and activities for the kids. There's going to be live music from our praise and worship band, along with some tours of the church. And this event is free to everyone in our community. It's not just open to the Latino community. It's open to everybody. Because, you know, this is it is a part of our Latino history, but it's mm-hmm. a part of our history as a community
That's
as
right.
well.
That's right.
And so we would like just to invite everybody, please come and join us. And if you have any questions, if you have any contact, or if you have any pictures or anything that you want to share with us, you can contact me personally. My email is wlbrooks1, that's the numeral 1, at gmail.com. Or you can just drop off or mail to the church at 409 Croswell Street. That's here in Adrian.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being on. Congratulations for
thank
being
you.
The Hometown Hope featured organization for the month of October. And much success in the future for the church. I know that it will be. And we're looking forward to the open house on October the 9th from 11 a.m. until 3 p.m. So, Senior Pastor Henry Burciaga, thank you so much for being on the program.
Well, I enjoyed myself.
Well, good.
Thank you for inviting us.
It was good to have you here. And also, Minister Lynn Brooks, too. Sure. Thank you so much.
Oh, it's been a pleasure, Dale.
This has been the Community Conversation. I'm Dale Gartner, and we'll talk again soon.